The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good Friday morning, and welcome to another end of the week edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, with yours truly, Neville James. It is a cloudy day in paradise, but we're going to have a very green St. Croix for sure, because yesterday it rained. And it rained, and it rained. I believe we had a morning show again this morning. You know what I'm saying? Got those weather patterns where, you know, atmospheres, different aspects of the atmosphere converging. I guess that's more intersectionality. Good morning, Tainita McIntosh, for helping with that word yesterday. In the atmosphere, and we're seeing all this rain and all that stuff, which is good. Because, you know, when summertime coming, it's going to get kind of warm. We got a great show today. Our number one, we were supposed to have a two-hour edition of the Power Hour, but Kyle Fleming is actually testifying before Congress today. You know what I'm saying? This afternoon at 2 p.m. So he's like Luther in 48 hours. He's going to be busy. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to excuse him. He'll get back to us at the appropriate time. So here's what we're going to do. We got some musicians that who are a part of the forum's just outstanding calendar for 2023-2024 that's heading towards its sunset. And we got the jazz ensemble will be joining us in a little bit. We got Deion Parsons on the line, so we're going to talk with him in a little bit. And we should be hearing from, hopefully, some of the Sphinx artists, the classical Latino and black young artists who are in the territory performing tonight in St. John at the School of the Arts, and then tomorrow night at the Prior Holic facility over there at Antilles School. And then in hour number two, we're going to be talking jurisprudence. Got that big case coming up Monday. So we're going to get some perspective as to what to expect. Last minute run-ins, things happening fast and furious there. But it's my understanding we got the one and only Deion Parsons on the line joining me this morning. Virgin Islands legend. Virgin Islands legend, period. Good morning, Deion Parsons. Welcome back to Analyze This.
Good morning, good morning. Thanks for having me, Neville. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How you been?
I'm good. You know, we are up to our musical stuff as usual. So mm-hmm. We're having a good time. That's hanging true. Out in St. Croix.
Yeah, it's my understanding. You got some artists with you this morning, or you alone?
This morning we have a couple of our students from our youth ensemble. We performed last night at the CMZ.
How did it go? How the weather was down in the west? Because I couldn't make it.
It rained, but it didn't stop the people.
So that's why I'm talking about.
Like I said, rain don't stop the carnival.
That's
so we
right.
We had a nice crowd, about 40 people, and they performed really well. It was the first performance of this season, and we had a great time, man. So joining me today is a senior from Antilles School, Mr. Ethan Habdi, and A grader from Antilles School, Mr. DJ Parsons. So they're here hanging out with us.
That's what you're talking about. Good morning, Ethan. Good morning, DJ. How are you?
I'm good.
So we got a senior. Ethan, you're a senior graduating this year?
Yeah, I'm a senior graduating.
Where are you headed to?
Well, I'm trying to figure out right now. Yeah, we're gonna visit the college, and we're gonna make that final decision too.
That's good. Don't take your time. You know what I'm saying? The university's gonna be there. School's gonna be there. So make sure you make the most the decision that makes you most comfortable, so you can so you can excel in your studies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
DJ, you in 8th grade?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, man, I wish I'd been in your class, man. Jeez, man, man. I wish I'd been in. How's 8th grade?
8th grade is going good. Trying to finish up the year.
Mm-hmm. School year went fast this year, right? In particular, when you came back in January. Time flying.
Yeah, it definitely is.
That's good. Talk about last night, how it went.
It's so good. Good to have a first performance of the year. The audience was great. Played some good music.
Any butterflies in the stomach last night, or you were just ready to perform?
A couple butterflies, but then once you're on there, it goes away. So,
yeah, you just start to focus and delivering the nice stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're talking about. Ethan, what's your last name, sir?
Hobdy. Hobdy.
Ethan Hobdy. Okay, good. That's good. And Dan, the young people delivered the goods last night, man?
Yeah, they did a good job. You know, it was a really good first performance. They've been working since January. To get the music together, and it came together. This year, we didn't turn anybody away. It was a small selection of musicians, and this was the first time we didn't have any females in the group, and we didn't have any students from St. Croix. So we have to try to make that, you know, happen next year. A lot of folks just didn't come out. People are still, you know, recovering from COVID and stuff like that, but it was a good group, and we just decided to integrate everyone, even though the tier levels of proficiency there was a big gap in it, but we just decided to put everybody in the mix and work them hard. So it came across really well. The audience loved it. There was partying at the end. We had a big jam session. We had some alumni of the Youth Ensemble at St. Croix that came and hung out with us. So overall, it was a good performance, a good presentation.
Talk a little bit about preparation. People might see the final product, but there's a lot of work that goes in to get you to that point.
Yes, so all of the students that participate in the VI Youth Ensemble, they have to audition. And we do the audition process through the school, so the band directors send us the students. Once they come to us and they audition and we find out their proficiency level, then we put them into specific groups. We work on theory, which could be anything from air training, sit behind the piano, play intervals. They have to identify the intervals and play chords. They have to tell if it's a major chord or minor chord. And then they have to play along with the chords. Once they identify the chords, they have to try to play the scale related to that particular chord. So it really works on their air proficiency. And we also have introduced them to writing music. So they have to do homework on that also. So they're learning how to, you know, write out and, you know, be proficient in presenting music on that level. And then we have performances. We have practices on the songs. So we bring in the songs, they learn the melodies, we analyze the changes, and then we put it all together. And then we create arrangements out of all of that. So all of this happens on a Saturday. We rehearse the students the UVI campus music building on St. Thomas. Classes starts at 10, and we finish at 3. So it's a intense day, nonstop of just music preparation all day.
No, that's what you're talking about. You got to put in the time, right? You got to put in the work, like Ida said, right?
So. You have to put in the time. You have to put in the work. Yes, sir. I mean, it makes a difference. You know, in this day and age with cell phones and iPads and stuff, there's a lot of distractions. So we try to keep the students focused. You know, consistent way, you know, all day on what's needed, because that's what the rest of the world is doing. You know, you look at some of these music camps and stuff, you know, they get up, they start earlier. They get up at 5 in the morning, 6 o'clock, and they have the kids out on the field exercising, have breakfast at 7, and in the classroom at 8. So it's pretty intense.
Biggest difference between when you were growing up and the modern day youth musician?
Say that again.
What's the biggest difference between when you were growing up and today?
Oh, well, the biggest difference is accessibility, I think. We didn't have the internet. So when I was coming up, I used to leave high school. There was a music shop on Garden Street called Pirate Fish, and I used to go in there and beg the guy every day to play me records so I could hear music.
Yeah.
And he kind of took a liking to me, so every once in a while he would slip me a cassette. He's like, I made this cassette for you. Go home and listen to it. And when I got to college, my work study job was in a music library. So I helped myself to making recordings of everything, because that's the only way we can hear the music. You have to go to a library, or you have to purchase the recordings to study it. So now, even in classes, we can talk to the kids about, say, a Charlie Parker solo. And we have a big screen hooked up to the internet in the classroom. We put on the screen, go to YouTube and pull up the solo. So within second, they have access to that information. So I think that's the biggest difference. It's a good thing in, on one hand, and it's a bad thing on the other hand. The plus is, again, it's very accessible for the students to get that information, so they can't be without. The bad thing is it kind of makes them lazy in a way because they don't go out and seek that information. So, you know, we have to encourage them. That's why we create these performances platforms so they can go out and perform in the public. So, you know, we're trying to encourage the students to be well-rounded. So I think that's the biggest difference right now is just accessibility to the information.
I agree with you 100%. Ethan, what instrument you play?
I play alto sax.
Alto sax. How long have you been playing the alto sax?
Since I was in sixth grade, so that should be like 6 years.
Wow. Well, what was it about the alto sax that drew you to it?
So in sixth grade, we had to choose an instrument for our band, which is mandatory. And so my brother, he's like 5 years ahead of me, he plays alto saxophone, and I was like, that's a cool instrument, so I'm just going to pick alto saxophone. Okay. I kind of just stuck with it.
Okay, so your big brother was like inspirational then?
Hmm?
Your big brother was inspirational?
Yeah. He did a lot of music stuff then too, yeah.
Okay.
Played a lot. And, you know.
Were you into jazz or jazz grew on you?
So I kind of started out as a classical because I played violin when I was four.
Okay. When you were what?
When I was four, it was like my mom wanted me to choose an instrument, so I picked violin.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
You're done with the violin or you're going to do both?
I mean, I put it down temporarily. I mean, we'll see. I've been focusing more on the saxophone. I also play like piano and like the drums a little bit. It's just the violin is more on the classical side of things, but mm-hmm. since I picked up jazz, it's kind of like, I've been more intrigued in that side.
No, that's cool. And Ethan, and DJ, what you play? What's your instrument?
I play trumpet.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? I like that. How long you been playing the trumpet?
Since I was two.
Since the trumpet was bigger than you.
Yes.
Hey, Deanne, that's beautiful to hear these young children embracing music at the ages of two and four, respectively, man. That's nice, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, DJ, he got fascinated by the trumpet. I came home from a gig one time. I was actually performing at the Louis Armstrong House in Queens with John Faddis.
Okay.
And we did a tour of the house is now a museum. And in between the performers, they gave us a tour of the house. And the garage section of the house is now a store. It's a small memorabilia store of all of Louis Armstrong's, you know, accomplishments and books and videos and movies and stuff. So we finished the tour and it was like, you guys can pick one thing from the store, the gift from us. So I picked up this video and I took it home. And DJ was, you know, he was born, you know, he was a couple years old. And I, you know, one day I decided to just put this video in. And he was sitting there with me and I'm holding him in my arms and his eyes lit up. And I was like, wow. And so every day I'm putting on this video and he's watching it. So we had a friend by the name of Lynn Greenwald. She used to babysit for us, so she's a musician. And she saw how excited he was watching this video. So she brought over a little trumpet mouthpiece one day and started buzzing and put it up to his lip. And he started buzzing. And then we went online and found like the cheapest trumpet for like $100 or something.
Yeah.
And bought it for him. And he would just buzz and push one finger. And that's how we started. So he was a natural. I mean,
no, I like that.
I was happy to see that being a musician myself, that my son kind of, you know, just gravitated towards it. And so that's how we got started.
That's what I'm talking about. What part of Queens, the Louis Armstrong house there?
It's in Corona, Queens.
Oh, Corona. Okay. Yes. That's on the Flushing side.
Yes.
That's my stomping ground. New York. Anytime I hear New York, I don't get excited. And I like it up there, man. That's my stomping ground.
Oh, yeah. New York is beautiful, man.
Yeah, like, people go say what they want about New York. You know what I'm saying? We ain't, yo. They can say what they want. Give me New York. I just think, you know, it's the uniqueness of it. I mean, it got a lot of people in a small concentrated area. High density, you know what I'm saying? But You can get everything. That's the one thing about New York. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah, I tell people. I said you can wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and leave your house and find whatever you need.
That's right.
It's gonna
be
happening.
That's right. That's
there's gonna be a mechanic shop open. You know, the supermarket open.
That's right.
So that's one of the things I loved about New York. I used to leave my house. Like, you know, for when I wasn't working, if I have a performance, it's like 12 o'clock and go hang out in the clubs and come home like 10, 11 in the morning.
Wow.
I'm going to work and I'm coming home. But it's the life of a musician. It's, it creates a whole nother atmosphere. And you see the world differently, too, because here in the Virgin Islands, things shut down at night. Everybody goes home. It's a cycle. It's like we all follow the same cycle unless you have to work at night. But in New York, 24/7, baby. So you learn to function differently.
I like that, man. You sung me the part just now, man. I like that. Ethan, music is in your life, but what do you want to study in addition to being a musician?
I'm really interested in like mathematics and science and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm also kind of like a computer-ish guy, because I used to play a lot of video games, but still do. Math, IT, I'm really looking at, like, sound engineering, because that kind of mixes the both of, like, the musical aspect and the musical aspect of the world.
And I want you to know that, you know, being nerdy is in vogue nowadays. It's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? So if you're being labeled as such, embrace it. You know what I'm saying? I'm down with that. Being like that, being meticulous and liking the numbers and all that stuff, it's a beautiful thing because it helps you in so many different areas of life, so many facets of life.
Yeah, I've already embraced it from all my friends. They call me that.
That's it. That's why I thought I came out. I like that. DJ, you got high school. You looking forward to high school?
Yeah, looking forward to high school.
Junior high school lasted 2 years. Talk a little bit. I'm getting to your brain now because I know you got that capacity. Talk a little bit about your junior high years and transitioning from elementary school to now in junior high and actually growing and knowing and seeing that you're getting up there. How's that been?
Transitioning from elementary to sixth grade, it wasn't too crazy of a jump. It was something you weren't expecting. So it was something that you really just had to figure out going through the year. Seventh grade was probably like on the exact same level, maybe one or two steps higher than sixth grade. And eighth grade for our school is really like letting you know how high school is going to be, without it being on your permanent record for colleges to look like. Yeah, like a lot of quizzes and homework. But it's just a way of putting you in that position without it affecting you in a bad way yet.
Right. Right. You sound ADN. Take a bow, man. Boy, sound good.
Thank you.
Well, you know, he well bred, and all, so that's expected.
Yeah.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We come back, we talk some more music, and we're talking with Deion Parsons, and he's got two members, Ethan Hobdy and DJ Parsons, of the youth, hold on there, the VI Youth Ensemble. Right, we'll take a break and be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duris. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here on Analyze This. It's Arts Friday, at least the first hour of it. And we got Dion Parsons, musician extraordinaire, joining us. And he's got two members of the Virgin Islands Youth Ensemble. Mr. Ethan Hobdy, who's a senior at Antilles.
You never stop playing. Whatever's going on.
Mr. Hobdy, what school you go to? Antilles?
What school you go to? Oh, Antilles, yeah.
Antilles, okay, good. And you're a senior, graduating in a couple months?
Yeah, June 8th.
That's what I'm talking about. And DJ Parsons, good morning once again, sir.
Good morning.
You're also Antilles?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. No, good. And Marlon, again, Deanne, glad to have you on always, man. Anytime. I really appreciate that.
Always a pleasure. You know, Neville, you know how we do it.
You know how we do it? You know what I'm saying? It's like that. Yo, word has it that DJ's a basketball player. That's what I'm saying. I got some inside scoop. DJ like to play hoops, man. I get a word.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player, man?
It depends on different things. I like Kyrie for his handles.
Oh yes.
Anthony Edwards for his physicality and stuff.
Ooh. But wait now.
Yeah.
Hold on there. What are you doing using words like physicality in 8th grade? What really going on, buddy?
I'm just teasing.
I'm proud of you. By the way, one of my listeners, Wallace Williams, chiming just now, Deanne, and he said, I want to make sure I quote him correctly. He said, hold on there, Wallace Williams. These kids sound cutting edge already. Amazing. You know what I'm saying? So, are you doing the right thing, man? I like that.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Neville, is that over the years, you know, traveling the world and stuff, you know, you see what's missing in certain elements, and you know, music education is a really, really broad, you know, component of teaching music. And Our public school system and the music education system in the schools is more of a general system. So our program is designed to kind of fill the gaps and teach the individual. Mm-hmm. So again, it's theory based. So we're teaching the students the fundamentals. When I was growing up in concert band, I went to concert band and I played a part. I played a part that the teacher gave me. Person next to me played their part, but we never analyzed the music. We never analyzed it.
You know?
We never took the time to say, hey, you know, this is a major chord. This is a diminished chord. This is a scale that goes over that. And, you know, we have theory, but we have European theory, which is really applied to classical music. So what we present to the students is the fundamentals of music in general, and we teach them the basis of improvisation, jazz.
which is one of the most challenging art forms. So if they could comprehend that, they could do anything.
That's what our goal is,
because we, you know, we have the talent here. I've taught in Japan, I've taught in Russia, I've taught in Italy, but I see the talent here. I'm a product of that. Rashawn Ross is a product of that. Ruben Rogers is a product. You know, we grew up here without having that type of assistance. So what we're bringing to these youngsters and to the education platform is a basis of information that's not necessarily within the system, but this is necessary. Everybody else is doing this around the world. So these students have the talent, the insight, the creativity, and the wherewithal to embrace this and take it to the next level.
And you mentioned the internet. It could actually be an asset, you know, if they look at it from the standpoint that they want to be more well-rounded. You were giving your example where you were asked to be a role player, to be a specialist. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, in this day and age, they're better off learning 3 or 4 disciplines, man.
Yeah. Yeah. The more versatile you are, the more of an asset you become to whoever you're going to be working with. I mean, when I played Color Purple, the Broadway show, they hired me as a drummer. But within that component, I played some percussion parts. So I got paid double just for playing congos and marimba, you know. Even though they hired me as a drummer, they was like, oh, well, we have these extra parts. Like, can you play us? I can play us. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Cut the check. Make sure you cut the check, though.
Exactly. You know, but it makes you more valuable.
Of course. Of course.
A Broadway musician, if you get hired for to play saxophone, you double on alto, you play alto, tenor, flute. In some cases, Ron Blake is playing on Saturday Night Live. He plays Barry Sax and flute.
Yes.
Even though he's a trained classical alto saxophone player.
Wow.
But he plays, people hire him for all of that. So the more versatile you are, the more accessible you are. And that's what we're presenting to the kids. We're giving them life experiences. So when they leave us, they can walk into most musical situations and be able to function.
Now, quickly, you performed at Carnegie. Right,
I perform at Carnegie Hall. Yes, I have.
And you have you has DJ gone with you to see you there or any others?
No, the last time I performed, DJ wasn't born. The couple times I played at Carnegie Hall, but we perform at Lincoln Center, Jazz and Lincoln Center.
Okay, you're right. That was, I think, last year June, right? Somewhere around there.
Last year June, yeah, we're gonna be there this year. This is the 25th anniversary of the 21st Century Band.
Yeah,
so we're gonna be there. May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd, a Thursday through a Sunday, celebrating, you know, the goodwill of the band.
Yeah, but I'd always be knocking myself because when I was performing, I'd be going up the following week to the Belmont Stakes, man. I was just hoping. I'd be hoping maybe one year it could coincide so I could knock out 2 balls with 1 stone, you know what I'm saying? Wow.
Yeah. I know, man.
Yeah. That's all right. I know you're going to hold things down. And you've carried DJ. DJ, I've seen you perform in that setting.
DJ performs with us. Yeah, we've been presenting him. We did a gig in Miami in February and I took him. He was the first time he was on the gig, and he was a featured artist on the gig.
Yeah. Oh, that's
he was
what
the
I'm
only person
about.
Playing that night that got a standing ovation.
So. Congratulations, DJ.
Thank you.
That's why I'm talking about. So let's get back to last night and that cozy setting down there in the West. Ethan, explain the setting for the audience so they could get a feel for what it was like from a member of the youth ensemble.
Yeah, so I guess for the audience starting, there was a tent, pretty big tent. We had a bunch of chairs lined up, some outside of the tent. It was raining, so not many people really sat outside. I think they moved those chairs later on, but there was a good amount of people who showed up. The atmosphere is kind of purplish. They set up the stage for us in a very nice way. We had the mics. We had the outer mics, so that way we can catch the ambient sound. We had everything set up. We had the keyboard. We had the drums, the saxophones, the saxophones and trumpets. We had 4 of us in the front. Our bass was in the middle, back-ish. And, you know, it was a very, very nice setup, atmospheric. We also had a little, like, couple of guest noises from the ambulance. the rain.
That's the real time. The real time incorporation of sound taking place last night. Yeah.
Well, overall, it was a very like serene kind of mood. One that gets you like excited, but also very relaxed at the same time.
No, that's cool. And from your perspective, DJ, well, tell us what how you view the surroundings and the ambiance last night.
It was a nice. It was a small but mighty crowd. I would say it was really nice to play for them. They were really into the music. A lot of clapping during the music. As Ethan said, there was some cats and natural noises that were going on during the songs. You had some people join in for like jam sessions type of tunes and stuff. But otherwise, it was a really fun concert to play for them, and I really enjoyed it.
That's good. Dion, talk about that because... this wasn't an enclosed setting, right? Where this is like a half and half, and you got the courtyard, and you got life going on in real time right outside the door.
Yeah. And what was nice was when we were setting up and sound checking in the afternoon, a lot of folks was like peeping in the gates. Oh, we have live music! Wow, we have live music! And I think if the rain didn't come, we would have had a lot more folks. You know, coming out because some folks texted me and said they were, you know, they were on their way, but it was so much rain, they went back home because, you know, they were driving from Christiansted. So, you know how that is. But, you know, it was really a good presentation for the students. I'm happy for them. I mean, for me, that's what it's about because, you know, we have to, our future is about our kids. And it's really. It, to me, it's just common sense. I mean, we're not gonna be here forever. And if we pave a positive way for our kids and give them the right information, our future will be in good hands. You know, and that's part of what our mission is. So we're enjoying it. We're happy to work with the CMC Art Museum and the Children's Museum of St. Thomas and a partnership with the St. John's School of the Arts. And all of this was brought together by Mr. Williams and the folks at the VI Lottery. So we thank him for allowing us to make this connection and present this product. And we have other concerts coming up. So we're very excited about this partnership here. So it's really good.
Now, Dion, talk about the Virgin Islands as it relates to jazz. As you know, we actually started this Caribbean phenomenon are going on now where a lot of islands have jazz fests and making a lot of money. You know, we started it. As a matter of fact, you played at the very first one, right, in 92?
Yes, I played in 92, I came in with a group, and we had a lot of fun. It was really nice.
John Lucien had gotten honored, right, at that one. I think my father, Fred Thomas, all of them, right? I remember Mario Chabot was a big player in that. Right,
Mario Stabart was a big player.
Miss Vanderpool, right? Miss Vanderpool,
Linda Vanderpool. Yes. Yeah, she organized it. Yeah, and Eunice Tranberg and all the folks at FEDA, and it was a beautiful event. And I think consistency is something that we need to look at when we do things, because again, that's why we have to work with our kids to make sure that if we give them the right information, then the sustainability. Mm-hmm. That's the challenge. I mean, it's not always about money. It's just about people having the information to continue to do things. And if you have that information and you have the funding, then this it's a no-brainer that we can have this in the future. So, I hope that at some point that festival will come back. We did something last year. It was really, really well.
Yeah, we had the three-part series there on the waterfront last year, right? That went well.
That was at the request of the governor. We partnered with Department of Tourism. But unfortunately, it didn't happen this year. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, it might come back. But again, consistency. That's one of the things we are happy to. You know, it's 10 years now we're going with the street ensemble. And the last concert we did at the music festival in St. Croix last year was a big band, the Caribbean Music Institute big band that we put together, which was a culmination of a lot of the musicians we've mentored over the 10 years and members of the 21st Century Band, and we brought them all together in one product.
and presented that to the community. That's never happened. We've never had a professional big band that we can now take this product around the world and present it, you know, to in every major festival. So the proficiency of the musicians of the Virgin Islands have increased a whole lot, and we're going to continue to build and do our part. So I think that's what's needed, you know.
Now, Dion, we spoke about New York, and of course New York is nicknamed the Big Apple, the melting pot. But the Virgin Islands is a melting pot as well. So I want to ask you this question, and I want the young men to chime in from and get their perspective at their teenage ages. We are exposed to a number of different disciplines here: Latin, jazz, calypso, Quelbe music, R&B, hip hop. How much of an asset was that for you, Dion, growing up, and that flexibility, that exposure to the different type of sets, patterns, and all that stuff, and how valuable was it, and did it actually make it? I don't want to say easy, but from a getting work standpoint, was that as valuable as I think it was and is?
You know, Neville, that's a really, really good question, because that's been the platform of my career. You know, jazz was like the last art form I learned, and I was so intrigued by it, I decided to study it. But the fact that I had exposure to calypso and reggae, soca, mento, quilde, Brazilian music, all the stuff coming out of Puerto Rico, the fact that I had that foundation made me, again, very valuable. So people know me as a jazz musician, but, you know, I work with Monty Alexander, I work with Ernest Ranglin, the guy that invented the scar rhythm on the guitar. I work with Baba Miles, went to Africa, recorded with these guys. I did Baba Olatunji from Nigeria. I half of my career was world music and playing the Broadway shows and recordings and all of that because of the exposure that I had growing up. And that's, you know, that relates to my point in mentoring these young men and women in the art of jazz, because if you can learn the jazz art form and you combine it with all the other elements that you've been exposed to, you have a wealth of information. One of the things I learned when I was in college, that my colleagues in college, like, they would always ask me, how you play calypso, how you play reggae, how you play all that Latin stuff, you know, they never got exposed to it. So a lot of them can't play that. So we're actually, coming from the Caribbean, we have a wider musical scope than most American musicians. And that makes us a bigger asset. It's just a smaller pool of us, but now there's more of us, so we're working more and we're influencing each other more.
That's
a really, really good question, because actually have a lot more. We have a lot more in our musical arsenal than most musicians do.
Well, you mentioned the word scope, and that's what it is. We're joined by Nicole Parsons. What we're going to do is we're going to head to a break. Good morning, Nicole. Glad to have you on.
Good morning, Neville. Thank you for having us.
Without a doubt. So we'll take a break right now, and we'll talk to Nicole about all of her organizing skills and working with these musicians, living with these musicians, and the benefits of that. We got the one and only Dion Parsons joining us with two members of the Virgin Islands Youth Ensemble, Mr. Ethan Habdi and DJ Parsons himself, you know what I'm saying, with all that big language at age 12, 13, however old he is, in 8th grade or 14. And we appreciate that here on Arts Friday on Analyze This. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then Listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The Forum and the St. John's School of the Arts presents Sphinx Virtuosi, a dynamic and inspiring orchestra comprised of 18 accomplished Black and Latinx artists. Its members serve as cultural and diversity ambassadors for audiences and communities worldwide. Concerts are Friday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at the St. John's School of the Arts and Saturday, April 13th, 8 p.m. on St. Thomas at the Antilles School. This weekend is the premiere of a greater collaborative presented by the VI Lottery between all three islands with CMC Arts on St. Croix, the Forum and United Jazz Foundation on St. Thomas and the St. John's School of the Arts. The Sphinx Orchestra performance is made possible with support from the VI Lottery, First Bank, and the Virgin Islands Special Presenter Initiative Program of the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation with support of the National Endowment for the Arts. For more information, www.theforumusvi.org or www.stjohnschoolofthearts.org.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here at Analyze This. It's an Arts Friday, and we got Dion Parsons, the leader of the Virgin Islands Youth Ensemble, also a part of the United Jazz Foundation, right? You're the creator of the United Jazz Foundation?
Hello?
Are you the creator of the United Jazz Foundation?
If I'm the creator of the United Jazz Foundation?
Or what's your role right now with the United Jazz Foundation?
Oh, I'm the president of United Jazz Foundation.
Okay, I got the wrong terminology. How long is, let me see, how long has UJF been in effect?
Oh, man. How long, Nicole?
That's a good one. Yeah, so we started, United Jazz Foundation started surely only with programming first. So it was not an official 501c3. And we started that in 2009. And then in 2013, that was an official 501c3.
Okay, good. So you got a 15-year anniversary in 2024 then. That's good.
Yes.
That's why I asked if you were the creator, because I know this is Ayo Baby, right? Right, Dion? Mm-hmm. The Ayo created this. That's why I asked that question. But you are the president. Nicole, what's it like juggling all of these different performances and all that stuff that you got to make sure folks are on time, you got to work on logistics? Explain that part to the audience who, like I said earlier, they get exposed to the finished product, but there's so much going on behind the scenes.
There is. So I love that question. Like yesterday is a great example, because with the Sphinx, I had 22 people coming in, but I also needed to make sure that the youth ensemble got on their charter to go to St. Croix. And then there was a dinner for the Sphinx organization. So yes, there is. And then you have the contracts for next year. So there's always a lot going on, but honestly, you know, their musicians are knowing how to work with the different notes and music and traveling. It has always been in my blood to juggle different things at the same time. So I'm more like a fish in the water now, to be quite honest.
I like that. Dion, I'm gonna play a tune for you, and I want you to tell the public your first impression when you hear this classic. This classic song that is connected to us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Deanne, tell the public how this will move you when you hear it, every time you hear it, because you don't play it. This is your baby. This is one of your baby. That's Sonny Rollins' classic by the name. What's the name of the song, Deanne?
Well, the song is named St. Thomas.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Sonny Rollins' saxophone Colossus. I think that's 1954 or 56 with Max Roach on drums. Yes, but the song was originally... There's a controversial story behind
it. Yeah, tell the story, because Leslie Commission was the one who had to educate me on it. Tell the audience about this.
Well, I'm going to just start by saying, my grandmother tell me, boy, there's fire down there.
Oh, yes.
My grandmother tell me, boy, there's fire down there. So go away, go. Go away, go. Go away, go, boy, there's fire down there.
Yeah.
That's the original name of the song.
Yeah. Fire down there. Fire down there is the name of the song, right? The original name. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So Randy Weston recorded it originally. I think he did it in 1954, and this saxophone colossal album came out in 56 with Sonny Rollins. But Randy Weston did it. He called it Fire Down There. When Sonny Rollins recorded it, the story goes that, you know, he left the studio and then gave a name for the song. And the producer, they were talking, and they was like, what's the name of the song? Well, that's that St. Thomas song that
Yes.
all the time. And that's how the song got named.
St. Thomas.
That's how it got named St. Thomas.
Thomas, yeah.
And Rollins got credit for it. But it's a traditional song. It's one of our folk songs.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No, that's the story behind it.
I love that song. Of course, but that ain't like a warm up song for a lot of jazz groups when they go to play at nights in nightclubs and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. I'm gonna tell you, Mike, personally, if the song kind of got to me, I would be touring. I'd be all over the world, and it'd be like, oh, our drummer is from St. Thomas. Let's play St. Thomas, and it just didn't sound the same because I'm playing a calypso beat. And
yes.
Boom, beating samba, and so I would just tell people, man, don't play this song. Again, they just didn't understand the rhythm.
Yeah, but when I was listening to it just now, even though Sonny, playing the sax is a featured artist, another featured instrument in that particular song is the drums and the percussion.
Right. And the drummer's playing more of like a meringue. Because they didn't know how to play a calypso, so that was the closest thing they could come to. It's very creative, but it's not a calypso. So for me, what happened was, over the years, I was like, man, if I'm going to continue to play this song, I have to just write an arrangement that I feel good about and I could just give it to people. And that's how we came up with the arrangement of St. Thomas for the 21st Century Band, because my frustration of trying to play with all these other musicians around the world and they're not understanding it.
No, that's awesome. Ethan and DJ, are you going to play that song? I could do a little something.
Play something right now.
Go right ahead.
they came prepared.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I'm going to just yield to them, you know what I mean?
Because they're not going to play, y'all want to play St. Thomas?
They could play whatever they want. I just like to use that as a classic example of the influence of the Virgin Islands beyond the territory.
Okay, so they're going to play a song for you, and then they'll tell you what they played after.
Not a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, the Virgin Islands Youth Ensemble live here on Analyze This on an Arts Friday in April of 2024. Listen, let me make sure the public hear me clapping for these young people here. Let's think about Mr. Hobdy and Mr. Parsons Jr. You know what I'm saying? Y'all did good. Hey, Deanne, I like the way the sax blending there with the trumpet, man.
Yeah, Oh yeah, yeah. They work together. They blend in. That's what you call playing in tune and listening to each other. So they work together. So they go to school together. So during the day when they're school, they can get together and practice this music and stuff. So that's all part of it. The work that you do outside of the rehearsal is equally as important that of the work that you do, you know, when you're in rehearsal. So.
Hey, Nicole, thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. These young geniuses sounding good.
Well, thank you, Neville, for the exposure. And I must say, also what you were talking about earlier, Neville, with the question, how it is for people to go around the world and coming from here. One of the important part that a lot of people forget what the focus is, because Dion and Rashan and Ron Blake and Victor Provost and Ruben Rogers, they all went through it. So are going to all our alumni is the fact that you go around the world and you play music, but you always play other people's music. And later on in life, they're finding out, like, wait a minute, I really, really miss playing with my peers because they understand where I'm coming from. So one of the most important things in with the youth ensemble is that we're starting always by saying, you're in this room together. If you pursue music, you're going to be stuck with each other. So you better get along and work together, because this is it.
That's
you
right.
You know, you're going to play with the big ones, with Winter Marsalis and with the whoever, and Ruby Hancock. But once you're home, adventure with your own people, and they understand where your one is, or where your harmony lies, or where your rhythm is at, that makes such a big difference. And it's really interesting to see the bigger group we had in 2014 and 2015 and 16. Most of them are graduated, and a lot of them are actually working in the public school system now, and some are on the mainland making a name for themselves. And we have, therefore, we also have the VI Jazz Collective, which is all the adults that are not in the 21st Century Band, because for them, playing together and coming home and or doing it somewhere on the mainland is just a sanity to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So there is more magic than just a cute youth ensemble. I must give a shout out to Senator Donna Fred Gregory, who has been along that site since 2014, seeing that this is really building these young people and a collaborative that lasts for life.
Even if you don't want to,
you know what I mean? So we always say, even if you don't like each other, figure it out now, because you have no time later on, because then you broke that connection and you're not going to feel good for your overall music experience the rest of your life.
Without a doubt. Now, Deanna, you said that the young men going to speak to what they perform. So, Ethan, tell us a little bit about that piece.
Ladybus? Yeah. Yeah, so the piece is called Ladybird.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm blanking on the name real quick. Sorry, about the person who created it. Trumpet player, Chet Baker, yeah. Chet Baker did an arrangement on Lady Bird, but it was originally created as like one of those like jazz songs back in the day. I think it was by Johnny Greene, who created Lady Bird. Well, it's a lot of people. It's like, three names on the real book. Greta Gerwig created Lady Bird, and it got popularized by Chet Baker and his band, and kind of he played it in like a sort of different style of how it originally. Yeah, he played it in like a bossa nova, even though originally it was like a swing. So, it's a very standard jazz.
Yeah, nah, man, it sounded nice. DJ, talk about Lady Bird, and how. After you play something one time, then two time, it becomes repetitive and it becomes easier, and you flow. Talk a little bit about that experience.
Well,
I learned Lady Bird a while back. It's been a couple times that I've memorized it. Like, once you start repeating it and repeating it over and over, you start to memorize it. I mean, it's not really a really all over the place type of melody. Yeah, it's a standard form melody, so it's nothing crazy.
I like how you refer to it as "ain't nothing crazy."
it's good to solo on. It's a nice tune to just pull out when you have people around, like a jam session with. Yeah. If you bring people up on stage during a concert like we did yesterday. When you keep playing it over and over, it starts to be embedded in your head, and you start to try new ideas along the melody or when you're soloing, because now you can go into really a deeper meaning of the chords and progressions.
Oh, man.
Song.
Yeah,
so,
I like the way you articulate that one. A deeper meaning. Deanne, I Google it and they say Lady Bird has made it safe to like the Dave Matthews Band again. So this is something that Dave Matthews gonna be playing too.
It was a very, very popular song. Everybody knows it. And mm-hmm. Just a quick FYI, most of the jazz standards stuff like that. So people have adopted these songs over the years and make them their own and come up with different arrangements. So it's a very popular song. It's one of the first songs students learn when they learn jazz. It's one of those classics.
This is like the term that I use in the league, I wear like boilerplate, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So that's good. Hey, look, I want to thank all of you for making some time to join us this morning. Always great to talk with you, Deanne. And good morning to you once again. And thank you very much, Mr. Ethan Habdi and DJ Parsons. And of course, Nicole, you're like family.
Thank you.
You're family on my show. And I appreciate all of you joining me this morning to help out Arts Friday, make our Arts Friday a special one here on Analyze This.
Yeah. And Neville, mm-hmm. tonight they're playing on St. Thomas at the Children's Museum.
Correct.
From 6 to 8.
Yeah.
So St. Thomas can get a taste of it. And tomorrow night at the Brian Jellicoe Sphinx Orchestra, 8 o'clock.
You got it. Thank you very much, Nicole. Thank you, Deanne Senior. Thank you, DJ. And thank you, Ethan. Appreciate all of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Neville. Take care.
You got it. Enjoy the weekend and have a successful weekend. We'll be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.